right off the top, we're joined by Lee Fairclough. She is the president CEO of the St. Mary's General Hospital. And we wanted to have her on, Greg, because obviously healthcare during the pandemic has been one of the major issues for all of us, obviously. And I've gotten to know her quite well as being part of the pandemic control group, which is really the hospitals, the doctors, the frontline workers, to make sure that we're able to keep our community moving forward. And this pandemic has really proven how important not only healthcare as a whole is, but the central focus on hospitals and how they affect our ability for the community to keep going. And so we wanted to have her on today because it's been 22 months of stress for healthcare professionals, in particular hospitals.
Well, it's apparently 22 months of stress for everyone. Lee, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for taking time this morning.
Thank you for having me here.
You know, I think one of the things that, well, we heard an announcement this week from Dr. Moore, public health, and talking about some services kind of opening up now from, you know, the complete lockdown. I think pediatrics, diagnostic services, as well as cancer screening. And I know some of that to some degree has been going on. You can kind of enlighten our listeners as to what was going on. But, you know, this whole pandemic, obviously, it's all about healthcare. That's kind of why it's a pandemic. And healthcare has been the principal focus on preserving and protecting our systems so that we can care for people. What impact has it been on the hospital thus far? And what impacts going forward are going to be a real challenge?
I think that each wave of this pandemic has had its own kind of characteristics. And the Omicron wave has affected hospitals in some different ways this time. The first thing that's very different is, one, we've just seen more patients. More patients have needed care. And so the volumes that we have seen for those requiring COVID care in hospital are highest that we've ever seen. The second thing is that more of our staff, like all of us out in the community, know of people being affected by COVID. More of our staff are being affected by COVID, or they will have people in their households that are affected by COVID. And so that has resulted in quite a disruption in the staff that are available to deliver the care. So, you know, I think that the combination of those two things has really resulted, and certainly how transmissible this is, has really translated into a different picture for us in the hospitals. You know, if I describe how things were yesterday and how things are this morning, you know, we've got 160 patients admitted across our hospitals, more proportionately being admitted into the ICU this week. And we've got about 430 staff off due to those reasons. We've increased our capacity in our hospitals. In the region of Waterloo alone, there's 192 additional beds between our hospitals that we've opened and staffed. And really, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to be sure that with all of that additional capacity, some temporary beds, how can we really respond to this need? The other thing that we're seeing is that patients are coming into hospital. That 160 I mentioned, it's almost double, actually, for the number that continue in our care because of the effect of COVID and their ongoing needs for care. So it really, you know, it has had a tremendous impact over the last month. And certainly it has meant that we've had to adjust some of our other services.
Now, I mean, let's drill that out. I think that's one of the reasons the announcement gets made by Dr. Moore that we are seeing the peak, according to by most standards. But it took 6 weeks or more to get to the top of the peak, and it's not going to end overnight. The province signaled that hospitals will start to do some of those surgeries and procedures that have been put off. But describe how that looks. I mean, the hospital's still full. When you do a surgery, many of them will require, you know, some care after the surgery. You just don't have the capacity now to actually do that. So describe how you will ramp up getting back to doing those other services that people are in you know, serious need of.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. And I mean, really, we currently have many of the staff that would normally be involved in the delivery of surgery are actually working in other parts of the hospital just to maintain the current care that we've got. So that's the first thing we've got to be able to do, is to be able to even be able to bring them back to the ORs to be able to support that care. They're working in the ICU, they're working in the emergency department, they're working in other parts of the hospital. The second is that we have kept, of course, we've done, you know, we have held on to a certain portion of those staff to be sure that we can deliver urgent and emergent surgeries. So the cancer surgeries and the cardiac surgeries, some of those procedures have continued given the nature of their urgency. What we will do over the course of the next couple of weeks is, you know, try to incrementally start to return to some of those procedures. But, you know, I do think for now, the Directive 2 that's in place that does require ramp down by hospitals will continue. We will be able to potentially start some of these other services. Many of them are out in the community versus in the hospital. Some of our partnerships that we have with some of those organizations, for example, for cataract surgery, we may be able to begin sooner. And those that had some of their imaging appointments canceled, like for a CT or an MRI, some of those we may be able to get started again. But, you know, I can't emphasize enough, and this is true of all the hospitals in our region, we're all in a similar place. It's going to take us likely at least until mid-February until we can really get back to providing that. But I have to also say, you know, I can't talk about this with sharing that it's troubling for us that we're in this position. We know that people are waiting for that care. We know that we need to be able to get back to it. And you have our promise that we will return to it as soon as we can.
You know, Lee, one of the things that, you know, we're kind of focusing or looking, epidemiologists and infectious disease specialists are looking forward and saying, you know, once we get past the pandemic and into an endemic situation, a lot of people kind of think, well, that's kind of the end of it. The endemic positioning is really that we'll have a seasonal outbreak of COVID. So it's like the flu. The flu is an endemic virus, and it carries on. Moving forward to that, because that could potentially spark public health protocols, even when it's endemic, when we're going to see those fluctuations and those waves, so to speak, we're going to have to sit down and have a very serious conversation on our capacity of our public healthcare system. And we're going to have to look at broadening that ability to be able to respond in endemic situations as much as pandemic situations.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that, you know, I agree that we're going to need to really look at the capacity. And I think we need to look at it across all hospitals in the province. But I would just say this region in particular, because of the tremendous population growth, the success of the communities actually has meant an increased demand for healthcare. So we did have a lot of pressures even in advance of COVID. We've opened, you know, I talk about 192 beds that we've opened across the region. That's the equivalent to the size of St. Mary's that we've had to open, and we are still full, you know. And so I agree. I think that it's going to be a matter of what is the acute care that we need to be able to deliver. How will we be able to do that in a way that can address these kind of seasonal fluctuations? I think the one thing I would just still say, though, on COVID and Omicron is that those that are coming into hospital, they're still very ill. And so, you know, it comes back to like the same that we do with flu season, where we're promoting vaccine and it's an annual thing. I mean, I can't say, and I can't even imagine where we'd be right now if we didn't have the vaccine, and just how important it's going to be that people get the third dose, that you keep continuing to boost that against COVID, because otherwise, I don't think that we would be able to manage it in a more endemic way into the future.
Yeah,
I think that's one of the things that is really important, is that we understand we had difficulties going into the pandemic, and there are still going to be challenges when we come out. Just as we wrap up in the last minute or so, maybe just recap for folks that what the timing's going to look like, because people tend to hear the headline or read the headline and say, oh, everything's back up and running. Maybe to sort of describe what the next couple of weeks looks like so that you have the right staff to do surgeries and how that's going to have to be managed. Because I think it's important for people to hear that it will take a bit of time.
Yeah, I think, thank you, Ian. I mean, I think that the next 2 weeks, for sure, our hospitals will still be coping with the current influx of patients that we've had that require COVID care. And so you won't see a large resumption of surgery. We will likely in the next week or two reinitiate some of our imaging work across the region. And as I've mentioned, I think that some of these other partnerships may be able to help that care. But I think it's mid-February at a minimum before we'll be really trying to get back to the levels that we were. And as we've seen with other waves, it will take us some time to ramp up to our full level again. So I thank the community for their patience. And again, please know that it's our first concern to make sure that we can get back to that care.
Well, it's a good place to leave it. And we thank you to you and the St. Mary's team, as well as Ron Gagnon, Grand River Hospital, and Patrick Gaskin at Cambridge Memorial, all working together and diligently to keep our community safe. Listen, you're always welcome back on the show. Come back and give us an update on where we're at. We're not at the end of this yet, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. So thank you for your continued support. We appreciate you joining us today.
Thanks very much.